Thanks so much for joining us for the New Life Robina podcast. New Life Church is one family, many churches, and we exist to simply see more people more like Jesus by planting and leading thriving local churches. We pray that this message is a blessing.
Thanks for being with us. It's wonderful to have you, and if I haven't met you yet, my name is Ori, and I get to be one of the pastors here at New Life Church. And if you're online with us today, it's a privilege to be out here with those in the room. We're one room, we're bigger than this room though. There are people worshipping with us online as well who are part of our New Life community, so it's wonderful to have you with us as well. I have the wonderful privilege and joy today of concluding our three-week slow meandering journey through Psalm 23. And so to kick us off for that, I'd ask that we would all please stand as we're able, and for you online as well to stand as you're able as well, for the reading of the Word of God. And now we do this from time to time. It's not a religious kind of ritual. It's something that we do as a practice in order to treat the Word of God with reverence and with honour, that we might be attentive to what's been read, and that we might be have our affections stirred to the Word of God and towards Jesus. We'll just switch over to the microphone there. And so I'm going to read out Psalm 23 for us in a moment, and when I conclude the reading of Psalm 23, I'll say, "This is the word of God," and you'll respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." So let's do that together now. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a good, a loving, a perfect, a righteous, a holy God, that you have always been and you always will be, and that you're present with us right now. Father, I pray, whether we're online or in the room, that as we delve into the depths of this psalm, these such familiar yet beautiful words, Lord, that you would stir our hearts to be oriented towards you, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds to your word, that Holy Spirit, you would move in and through us, that our hearts would be shaped and transformed, and that our lives would be testimonies to the goodness and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we step into this message, I pray that there would be less of me and more of you. I pray, Lord God, that I would be your humble servant, and Holy Spirit, that you would speak in and through me. Lord, help us only how you can to be more like you, in the name of Jesus. And all who agree said, amen. You can take your seats. I'm wondering if there's any music buffs with us this morning. Chuck your hand up if you're a music buff, music buff, hands up. I think most of us enjoy music. Maybe you'd like to tell us online if you enjoy music as well. Brian is hosting you in the live chat at this moment. I know I love listening to music. I know I've got a bunch of songs on my playlist. I know I love listening to chill hop and some relaxed kind of beats. And I loved growing up and road tripping with friends, or maybe it was with family, and listening to bands like the Chili Peppers and the Foo Fighters, and there's some other ones in there like Muse, or one of my all-time favourites, John Mayer. And judging by everyone's reaction, no one's heard who any of them are. There we go. See, I knew there were some fans here. Maybe your tastes, you're sitting there going, yeah, all right, that sounds okay, but maybe your tastes are a little bit more refined. Maybe you like Paul Kelly, U2, or let's go classical, maybe some Vivaldi and the Four Seasons. Maybe you've gone and listened to a concerto, play that to candlelight. Maybe that was even a romantic date for some of you.
Maybe you're like me, and maybe you've got some daughters, and you've got daughters who love this artist called Taylor Swift, and you know that they ask you, like most car trips, hey, can we turn that on? We'd love to sing to it. And as you're singing to it, dads will know what I'm talking about. As they're singing along to it in the car, you just like involuntarily start like bopping and you just don't know where it came from. I wonder what's on your playlist. I wonder what you're listening to. And I wonder what's on your playlist maybe when times get a little bit tough. Maybe when life's not working out exactly the way that you hoped or the way that you planned or the way that you thought it should go. Maybe you do a bit of shake it off with Tay-Tay. Maybe you don't. When life gets a little bit tough and you're just going through a time that's a little bit trying, what's on your playlist? What are you listening to? What's ruminating through your heart, through your mind? I remember my parents loved to, from time to time, put on Enya. Has anyone heard of Enya? Oh, wow. There was such a warm reception to that. I'm not sure. Maybe online you'd like to chuck in the chat what you've been listening to, what's on your playlist at the moment. In the 8 o'clock, there was definitely a little bit more divided on the Enya thing than that. But when life is pressing you from all sides, when things aren't working out the way that you thought they should, I wonder what's on the playlist of your heart. I wonder what songs you're singing, and I wonder how they're orienting you or directing you. And I'd like to suggest that maybe in these types of moments, and maybe in all moments of life, that we need a certain type of playlist. We need a playlist of songs and of thoughts and of ideas that actually point us towards God, that actually help us to understand what God might be speaking into our situation, what God might be saying to us, a playlist that might actually draw us into God's presence. And I submit to you this idea that we experience God's presence through the listening to God's playlist. We experience the presence of God by listening to God's playlist. And there's a playlist of God's that I'm going to share about now, and it's a playlist of the Psalms. You can imagine that the Psalms is God's playlist on how to pray. Now, Jesus taught us what to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. But it's actually the Psalms that teach us how to pray. The Psalms is this beautiful book of poetry and songs that's intended for like sung corporate worship, to be sung together in community. And it's this playlist of how to pray in the sense that it contains all the full range of human emotion. There's lament and there's joy, there's sadness, there's frustration and anger, but there's also, as I said, joy and that sense of celebration and heralding the good that God does. And there's 150 of these psalms in God's playlist. They're divided into five books, which mimics the first five books of our Old Testament, the Torah. And so there's this symbolism and there's this sense with that, that actually these people that are coming around and communing around the psalms and singing the psalms are striving to obey the law of God and to reflect what it is to be obedient to God. But also they're faithfully hoping for the Messiah, the messianic kingdom that is to come. And near the middle of this first book, out of the five books in the Psalms, and if you read through the Psalms, you will see these headings. You'll be able to pick up on a couple of these things that I've been saying. We find Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, a Psalm that was authored by King David. Now, David grew up as a shepherd boy. And part of David's story kicks off 1 Samuel 16, if you'd like to go and read about it later. But the idea is, or what happened is that David was a young shepherd boy and he was working out in the field. He was the youngest of all of his brothers. And then the prophet Samuel comes out of retirement, goes and visits his father Jesse and says, God says the next king of Israel is in your family. So let's line up all of your sons and God will speak to me and we will anoint the son who is to become the next king of Israel. And so this all happens and they file through all of the brothers and they all look the part. They're strong, they're handsome, they're everything that you would humanly expect someone to be who's going to take a position like that. But as you would know, if you're familiar with the story, none of the sons that were lined up were going to be the next king of Israel. And then Samuel asked Jesse if that's all of his sons, but no, David was out in the field. And so they come in, and Samuel declares straight away that this young man here, David, is going to be the next king of Israel. He's going to be the shepherd king. And so it's with that background painted that some commentary would suggest that David wrote Psalm 23 kind of around that stage of his life, cognizant of the fact that he's familiar with the idea of being a shepherd. But there's enough consensus around on this for me to actually ascertain this space that no, it's much more likely David has written Psalm 23 in the latter years of his life. There's just too much depth and too much meaning and too much reflection that's gone on that perhaps a younger David might not have had the capacity to reflect on and to write about. And so keep that in mind as we continue to journey through Psalm 23, that we're listening to a David who is in his latter years, reflecting on the events of his life and what God has done in and through him and what God has done around him. After David was anointed to be king, he eventually was appointed to be king at the death of Saul. And he had victory after victory and success after success. The front half of David's life was one marked by success. He became the king over Judah, which was the divided kingdom. He became then the king over Israel, which was when the kingdom unified. And then he conquered the surrounding nations and brought peace to the region. He was a successful leader under God. And so it's with that context in frame that we approach the first of the two verses we're exploring today, verse 5. And it says this. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The picture that comes to mind for me is one of the hero in the movie that's trying to escape those who are chasing them, and then they land in the embassy. I like watching action movies. I don't know about you. When Beck, my wife, and I can escape the paradox of choice and actually pick something on Netflix, half the time it's an action flick. It's a great way to consume popcorn and just enjoy a relaxed, quiet evening. And I just imagine there's a number of movies this could be from, but just imagine the scene where that's what takes place. There's the main character or the hero or the action figure, and they're being pursued by the bad guys or whoever the other side is, the foreign state, the ones that want to take them out and want to stop them what they're doing and just stop them in their tracks. And then as the pivotal moment rocks up, they step into that embassy of their home nation. Maybe you can imagine like Jason Bourne or someone like that, that happens to them. And they race and they jump through the gate and the gate shuts and the enemy can't touch them. And that's the picture that comes to mind when we read about this idea of a presence setting the table in the presence of my enemies. That's what David's reflecting on here. And that journey, as some of you would know, from being anointed to be king to be appointed to be king, David had an enemy called Saul, the current king at that time, who was insecure, who was jealous and did not want to see the light of day where David would become king. And so he would pursue David with his men and they would try and chase him down and try and take him out. And David's reflection on that season is, "God, you set a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And so there's a couple of themes that kind of come out of this symbolism, this idea of right relationship and this idea of refuge. It was a very important symbol in ancient times, the table. It was so about status. If you were seen sitting at the table, it was because you were meant to be there. You were a part of a specific relationship that was special, that communicated to everyone else your status in society. If you were in, you're at the table, and if you're out, you weren't. And so that's what God's saying here about King David, that he's in right relationship. He puts aside enmity for someone to enjoy fellowship with Him, communion with Him. And it's to declare it publicly in the sense of divine blessing and divine security. That's what it is to sit at the table with God. God hosts us at His table. God gives us a picture of relationship. He says, you are in relationship with me. We go from enemy to friend to child of God, being hosted at the table with God's hospitality. And then there's that sense of refuge. There's that sense of safety. There's that sense of, I'm secure because God has seated me at His table. And so in the psalm, there's the picture of God the shepherd and the picture of God the host. And we've heard in the previous 2 weeks about how much comfort we can find as we follow and as we yield to God our shepherd and see that same comfort, see that refuge and see the hope that we can have in God by being seated at the table in the presence of our enemies. I wonder, friends, who's your enemy? What is your enemy? What has God got you sitting in the presence of right now in this season? And do you carry that sense of refuge? Do you know that you, as you submit to God, surrender to Him, live in relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, do you have a sense that you are kept safe, not just right now, but forevermore, for all eternity? Because what tends to happen for us in our culture, in our time, is we try and solve these problems ourselves. When something's pressing up against us, we look for certain tools or certain things that we can do. Or maybe we try and even remove ourselves and escape from the problem. Maybe we think, if I can just get out of this, then I'm going to be okay. But that's not the playlist that God plays. That's not the tracks that are on God's playlist. God's playlist is not to remove us from trouble. God's playlist is to give us refuge in the midst of trouble. His playlist is to give us refuge in the midst of trouble. And it's a refrain that doesn't just exist in this psalm. It's across a number of psalms, and I'll quote a couple for you now. God is our refuge for us, Psalm 62. God is a shield for all of those who take refuge in Him, Psalm 18. God is a refuge, or God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46. And so my question in this moment to you is, where are you getting refuge from? Who are you receiving refuge from? And can I say, if it's not the Lord God, that refuge is fleeting. It won't fill that void. It won't be that balm. It won't be that salve. And then what do you do when that wears out? But friend, you can put your hope and your trust in our Lord God, because He will give you refuge that lasts this lifetime and forevermore. That in spite of your circumstance, you can know peace. In spite of your circumstance, you can know joy. What playlist is your heart and your mind and your soul playing as we reflect on the words of Psalm 23? I have this quote here from Eugene Peterson that will help set us up for the next verse that we're about to approach. And he captures the idea like this. He simply says, when we sin and mess up our lives, we find that God doesn't go off and leave us. He enters into our trouble and saves us. He enters into our trouble and saves us. Friends, there is nothing that can save you outside of God. Do you know that today? And so hold that in frame. I think where that quote helps set us up is, and to give a little bit more context here, is that David's life, the first half, was success. Everything was going up and to the right. Victory after victory after victory, as I said moments ago. But something happened. There was a shift. David made a couple of bad decisions. Things went wrong. Life started to come off the rails, and there was consequences that came as a result of that. And so at this pivot point in David's life, things started to head down. Things started to come unstuck. And what God would say to David in this moment, and what David reflects on in this psalm with these moments in his life is this, and we read in verse 6, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely your goodness and love will follow me. See, the thing about David was as he stepped into that next season of life, where he started to want to take things a bit easier, where he was looking after his own comfort, where he decided that his own desires were more important than God's desires for him and for the nation of Israel in that moment in time, God's people. God pursued him. God chased him down. That's what that word follow means in that verse. Our English doesn't just quite capture it, but in Hebrew, it is the word radef. And it says to pursue after, to chase down, to hunt. Reminds me of a TV show that I enjoyed watching a couple of seasons of. And I'm cognizant of the fact that I'm giving movie and TV illustrations. I promise you, I do more with my time than watch TV and movies. But there's this great series. Well, I thought it was great. If you watch it later and you don't like it, I apologize now ahead of time. But it was this show called The Hunted. And basically what it was this just adult version of Tiggy, where you had these contestants who got to run around a capital city in Australia, and these other people who would have been ex-military, ex-police, those sorts of agencies and forces, who that was their next job after their retirement. They stepped into TV and thought, yep, this will be a great idea. Let's play a big game of Tiggy in a city of people, and it's going to be like simulated, like hunt and gather, like I was talking about before. Like there's the people trying to escape and to find refuge or to get away from these people who were chasing them down. And it was a whole lot of fun. And what would happen at the end is if you escaped those who were hunting you, you got a cash prize. But the difference between that and the story of God is that there is no escaping God. His presence is all around us. And as it says in this verse, he chases you down and he pursues you. But he does it to lavish his love on you so that you can experience his grace, so that you can know him intimately, as Mike prayed earlier, so that God would not be far from you, but he would be up close. That's the type of God that we're talking about here. Not one at a distance that seeks to condemn you or to make you feel bad or to punish you. But one, as you come into his presence, you have a sense of conviction. You know that he is righteous and he makes you righteous because you surrender your life to him and you follow him as one of his disciples. C.S. Lewis captures this idea of God pursuing us and us experiencing his presence like this. We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito, and the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labor is to remember, to attend, in fact, to come awake, still more, to remain awake. Friends, are you awake to the presence of God in your life? Are you remaining awake to the presence of God? Do you know that God chases you down because he loves you and he wants to walk with you? God's playlist sounds like goodness and love on repeat. Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in Romans 5. He goes on to say in Romans 8 that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus himself said, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand," in John chapter 10. No one can remove you or separate you from the love of God. And God said that to David. God says that to us today. He chases you down because he wants to lavish his love on you. He wants you to know that you can experience his goodness, his grace, his abundance of his love, and the refuge and the safe harbor of his presence in the presence of the enemies that you might be facing in your life at this time? Does the playlist that you play in your heart and your mind sound like love, goodness, grace, mercy, peace, joy, hope? Or does the playlist that plays in your mind sound like something else? What is it that's playing in your mind, that's coming out of the wellspring of your heart? May it be the playlist that God gives us in these Psalms. So I want to take a moment to highlight some of David's struggles and how they speak into what it is we're talking about here. In that moment where David's life shifted from success to struggle, there was a story, many of you would be familiar with it, where David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah, one of his like key soldiers, one of his great men of his army. And then as a result of that, there was consequence, there was family turmoil. David's son Absalom rebelled against him. The nation of Israel rose up and rebelled against David. All of these things happened. In all of that, David didn't run from God. He ran to God. And that's the encouragement we can take from David's story, is that no matter what happens, no matter what choice we make, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, no matter what it is, God opens his arms and would have us run to him every single time. Every single time. So don't shy away from it. Don't step back. Don't recede. Don't think that you can remove yourself from what's happening, because you can't. But what you can do is step into the intimacy and the love and the presence of God. Are you doing that today? Can you do that? Will you do that? In all of David's story, in these second half of his life, these latter stages, there was one enemy that he could not escape. One enemy that he could not escape. And that enemy was himself. No matter where you run, no matter where you try and hide, no matter what you try and escape, the constant in that is yourself, is myself. And we don't have it within ourselves to be able to fix whatever's going on, to be able to heal the brokenness within us, whatever it is that leads us to do the things we do and say the things that we say and deal with the situations in the way that we deal with them. There is nothing we can do in our own strength, in our own natural ability, that is able to bring remedy or healing or to fix that. But there is one who can. David was a foreshadow. As the king of God's people, David was a foreshadow of a greater king who was to come. The messianic king and the messianic kingdom that the people of God at the time, reading through the playlist and singing through the playlist of Psalms, were hoping for and were faithful would come. And it was a king who would descend from the line of David. It was a king who would come to be and bring in salvation. It was a king who was to come and bring the kingdom of God. It was a king who we know by the name of Jesus Christ. The title track of God's playlist is Jesus. Like David, Jesus came to give refuge. David achieved experienced refuge for himself and for the people of God at his time, but Jesus came to be the refuge for all of us over all time. David was anointed king with oil. And like David, Jesus was anointed by the sinful woman who broke an alabaster jar and anointed him with oil to show us and to demonstrate us that the expanse of the kingdom of God, that Jesus would make available salvation and the kingdom of God and his rule and reign to all people, all people. There was a cup that David referenced that said, his cup overflows. And David got to experience the overflow of God. But over and above that, as Jesus' side was pierced and blood flowed from him, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced for our sin. He was pierced so that we could step into relationship with him from now and forevermore. Jesus was the greater king. and is the greater king. And David experienced assurance. Your goodness and mercy, your love and mercy will follow me. Jesus forewent all of that assurance. He was abandoned by his Father on the cross so that you and I could understand and realize and live in the full reality of the assurance of God's presence in our lives. He became a suffering servant so that we could be children of God. And my question is, do you know him? Do you know him today? Does your playlist of your life, your mind, your heart resound of the reality of Jesus Christ? And so to close, let me share with you a story of someone who listened to God's playlist and whose life resounded what it is to dwell in God's presence and to walk in the way of Jesus and to trust wholeheartedly in God as shepherd and king and host. His name was Horatio Spafford, and he was a successful attorney and real estate investor in the greater Chicago area. And this is late 1800s, and he lost pretty much everything in the Great Chicago Fires, which if you're a history buff, you'll know something of that. He lost a fortune, and in the same season of life, he lost his four-year-old son who died of scarlet fever. And so in order to try and create a little bit of rest or a little bit of a break from this, he decided to send his wife and four daughters on holiday by ship to England. So this was across the Atlantic Ocean, and on that voyage, there was a tragic collision and the ship sunk. His wife Anna survived, but his four daughters tragically perished in that event. More than 200 people lost their lives, and they were four of them. And the only word that Horatio got about this was a memo from his wife Anna that said, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" And so immediately Horatio sets off for sail to England. And as he's on the voyage, he gets invited into the captain's quarters of the ship that he's on. And the captain just lovingly tells him, "Hey, Horatio, we're passing over the spot where the ship that your daughter's on sunk." Just imagine how you would respond in that moment. How would you feel? What would you think? What would you say? Has Horatio thought about this? As he thought about his daughters, words of comfort and hope filled his heart and his mind. And he wrote them down, and they became a hymn. A hymn that some of you might be quite familiar with. It's really well known. And I'll read you the opening words of it now. "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul." Is it well with your soul today, friends? For some of you it is, for some of you it isn't. But in the midst of all that, and wherever that you are on that spectrum, God is with you. And God loves you, and God's presence carries you. And so what we're going to do now is, if you would like to, you can stand to your feet as you're able. And we're going to respond by worshiping God with a song that takes an adaptation of those familiar words, "It is well." So we're going to worship God together, friends. We're going to sing to him, that it might incline our hearts towards him and we might get a sense of his presence in our lives. So let's sing together.
Thanks again for listening to the New Life podcast. If that stirred something within you or you'd like prayer, you can head to church.nu/prayer or contact us through our Instagram or Facebook page. We pray that you have a great week. Be blessed.